it's Luke chapter 2. And we're going to pick up the story at verse 8. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. The angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had seen, heard, and seen, which were just as they had been told. Amen. Okay, it's Saturday night and you're having a quiet night in. You're doing what you normally do on a Saturday night, maybe watching a bit of TV, maybe having a quiet night in with the kids, maybe playing a board game. And there's a knock on the door. And when you answer the door, you see a policeman, a policewoman standing on your doorstep, standing quietly, standing seriously. And your heart sinks as a parent. Your overriding emotion is now fear. You're terrified that the news that they're about to break with you is the news that you most dread to hear. And time stands still. Terror grips you tightly. You're not only shaking, you're shaken to the core. This just has to be bad news. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. They were terrified. The ordinary routine of another night shift out on the hills was shattered in a moment by this heavenly messenger. Glory filled the air, terror filled their hearts. We can immediately, can't we, identify with these shepherds. We can almost feel their fear. We can almost feel their shaking. Was it a fear of the unknown? Was it a fear of the supernatural? Was it a fear of judgment? Was it a fear of the future? Was it a fear for their lives? Maybe all of them put together. This supernatural night brings about a very natural response in these very ordinary men. They were terrified. So firstly this morning, fear not, verses 8 to 10. Fear not, good news. The first word spoken to these terrified shepherds was "do not be afraid," or literally in the original two words translated in the older versions as "fear not." Fear not. If you were compiling a list of basic human rights, I think freedom from fear would be up there, be near the top of that list. And the Declaration of Human Rights does actually cite freedom from fear as one of humanity's greatest, highest aspirations. Wouldn't that be nice? Living in a world without fear. Freedom from fear, I think, is still top of many people's Christmas list. And so this is Christmas, John Lennon wrote, just a few years before he was shot. So this is Christmas, a very merry Christmas and a happy new year. Let's hope it's a good one. Can you finish it? Without any fear. What are you afraid of? What are you afraid of as Christmas gets nearer? The bills? The cold? The loneliness? Painful memories of Christmases past? Illnesses? Do you know, when I was a kid, this time of year, I was always really scared, really afraid of dying before Christmas, before I got a chance to open my presents. It seems crazy now, but it was something I genuinely feared, something I was really scared of. And the Bible has an awful lot to say to us in our fear. This phrase, fear not or do not be afraid, is a recurring phrase. You'll find it in the New Testament, in the Old Testament. Why is that? Why do we find that so often in the Bible? Is it because of our tendencies to worry? Or is it because God's making a point that we've been slow to understand? According to the Bible, a Christian has nothing to fear. A Christian has nothing to fear. I'm told that this phrase, fear not, or do not fear, do not be afraid, occurs at least 365 times in the Bible. So that's one for every day of the year. And for those of you who are worried about a leap year, when the Bible was written, the calendar consisted of 360 days, so you've got 5 to spare. Whatever a Christian might be afraid of, God has got it covered. Listen to the words of Jesus to his followers, to his disciples. He says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives you. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. Fear not." Fear not. And the reasons the shepherds had nothing to fear was found in the content of the message they were just about to hear from these angels. It was good news of great joy for all the people. The birth of Jesus Christ is good news. Now, if Christmas isn't the best news you've ever heard, then you've never really understood Christmas at all. You've certainly never understood Christianity. At the heart of the Christmas message is the story of God, the God who made you, the God who upholds all things, coming to earth in human form to rescue us from our sin, to rescue us from all of sin's consequences. This is wonderful news. This is great news. The birth of Jesus was like the arrival of that rescue pod in that cavern, in that mine in Chile where those 32 miners were trapped for so long. It's good news. It's great news. I've got good news for you, says the angel to the shepherds. The long-awaited rescuer has arrived. It's here. He's here. The birth of Jesus is good news, but it's not only good news. It's good news of great joy. Did you know that Bournemouth has been declared Britain's happiest place? It's official. You're the happiest people in the country. This is as good as it gets. And on the back of that fact, the Prime Minister has commissioned a research project into what it is that makes people happy. The cameras, the news team were down on Bournemouth Beach this week asking people that question. What is it that makes you happy? I'm happy when I'm on holiday. I'm happy when the sun shines. I'm happy when the kids are happy. I'm happy when it's payday. But you know what the problem with happiness is? Happiness is always related to circumstance. We're not on permanent holiday. The sun doesn't always shine. The kids aren't always happy. Payday only comes once a month. Life doesn't always bring us happy circumstances. It only takes an illness, an accident, a tragedy, a redundancy to quickly rob us of our smile. I think happiness is a little like the snow in Bournemouth. It rarely comes, and it quickly melts. You know, I'm not being a Scrooge this Christmas. I love Christmas time, and there's nothing wrong with happiness. For more happy people. Nothing wrong with happiness, but there's something better than happiness. Something deeper, something more enduring, something not dependent on material things, something not dependent on how things are going. Our circumstances are so fragile. Our world is so dangerous. We need much more, something more than happiness. We need joy. I don't know if you know the story of Richard Wurmbrand. He's a pastor in Romania who was cruelly tortured for being a Christian. If you read his story, he amazingly found great joy in Jesus in spite of his suffering. In spite of all that he and his family went through, he found great joy regardless of his circumstances. In spite of the fact that he was suffering because of his love of Jesus, for the very fact that he followed Jesus. Listen to what he said. They can take everything I have, but they can't take the touch of his nail-pierced hand from my life. Is there anything else in this world that could make such a profound effect on a human being? There really isn't anything that could do such a thing. This man rejoiced in his suffering. He had joy in the forgiveness of his sins. He had the joy of being right with God. He had the joy of being loved. He had the joy of being part of God's family. He had the joy of the assurance of heaven when he died. All of this joy was his. It was his objective reality in spite of his circumstances. There were perhaps many occasions when he said he couldn't be happy in those times. But for sure, in Jesus Christ, he found great joy. Jesus Christ is good news of great joy for all the people. What does that little phrase, all the people, mean? Good news of great joy for all people, irrespective of whether they believe in Jesus or not. Good news of great joy for all people, regardless of how they treat Jesus, of how they treat others. Not at all. The reason Jesus is good news of great joy for all the people is because people essentially have the same need. All people have the need to be saved. All people have the need to be forgiven. All people have the need of a solution for their sin. And that solution is exclusively found in Jesus Christ. Good news of great joy for all people. There isn't another way. There isn't another place. There isn't another person. Found this good news, this joy is found only in Jesus. So these shepherds were in the grip of fear initially, but they needn't be in the grip of doubt. Secondly, doubt not. Verses 11 and 12. This is true news. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. Let's be honest, let's take a reality check here. None of this is good news. There's no joy for anyone if this isn't true. Do you believe in angels? Do you believe in a virgin birth? Really? Isn't this story just from the realms of the fantasy? Isn't this just kiddies' nativity? Isn't this just a collection of myths and fairy tales? For sure, this isn't good news if this isn't true news. And I want you to know that this story is rooted in history, and I want you also to know that this story is the fulfillment of prophecy. Today, says the angel, today, there was a day in human history when this actually happened. Jesus Christ was really born on earth. You know, no credible historian would ever deny the fact that Jesus lived, walked this planet. Jesus is still the most famous, the most followed person ever to have walked planet Earth. We have no need, no reason to doubt that this story in its entirety is true. Listen to how Luke opens up chapter 2. He sits this story in a historical context. He says, in those days, Caesar Augustus issued the decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. This story is rooted in history. It has a historical context. But perhaps some of you are thinking, okay, we take the point, we can see the historical elements of it, but maybe it's a mixture of fact and fiction. Maybe it's truth and tall stories combined. You can believe in shepherds, but you find it hard to believe in angels. Well, the writer of this gospel, Luke, also wrote a book called The Acts of the Apostles. It's a historical account of the beginnings and the spread of Christianity across the world. And Luke's writings have been investigated. They've been scrutinized in minute detail over the years. I want you to listen to a quote from Sir William Ramsay. He's regarded as one of the greatest archaeologists who have ever lived. This is what he says about Luke. He says, "Luke's history is unsurpassed in respect of its trustworthiness." What happens when you investigate Luke's writings, when you investigate Luke's times and dates, his people, his places, his events and occasions, and many people have done that, what do you find? You find that he's bang on. He's meticulous in his detailing. He's unerring with his accuracy. He, as a historian, and his writings have a well-deserved credibility. Why should we believe Luke's account of angels? Well, he's got a reputation for getting it right. Why would his account of the supernatural be any less accurate than his account of the natural? So it's rooted in history. But there's something more. Something apart from Luke's credentials as a historian. There's something else which can help convince us that all of this is a true account. All of this is a true account. And that's the fulfillment of prophecy. This story is the fulfillment of not just one prophecy, but multiple and detailed prophecies, some hundreds, some thousands of years old. If you've never looked into this aspect of the Christmas story before, I really would encourage you to do so. It's fascinating, it's illuminating, it's authenticating. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. Every part of that verse is clearly and specifically prophesied and recorded in the Old Testament. Today, according to the prophet Daniel, Jesus had to be born within the lifetime of the Roman Empire. And he was. Today, in the town of David, according to the prophet Micah, 700 years BC, Jesus would have to be born in Bethlehem, which is the town of David. He gives us the postcode for the birth of Jesus Christ. Today in the town of David, according to the prophet Isaiah, the coming king would have to be from the tribe of Judah and be a direct descendant from King David, and Jesus was. When you investigate the prophecies of the Old Testament time and time again, it's like a beating drum. You can't get away from it. The Savior's coming. The Savior's coming. The Savior's coming. The Messiah's coming. The King's coming. The King's coming. The King's coming. And here, wrapped up in this verse, is the fulfillment of all of those things. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. And he's the Christ. He's the Messiah. He's God's chosen King on earth. He's here. If an archaeologist, whilst digging around, found an ancient scroll proved to be genuine, which named your date of birth, your place of birth, your name at birth, and various specific details of your life which you knew to be true, then you'd certainly have to sit up and listen, wouldn't you? You'd take very seriously everything else that it said about your life. Fulfillment brings credibility. And this day announced to these shepherds was a day of fulfillment. Verse 12. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. There's proof to back up my story, says the angel, that go down to Bethlehem, see for yourself, go check it out. It will be just as I told you. Friends, if you've never looked into these things before, I really would encourage you to do this, to go see, to go check it out. The Bible can withstand any of your scrutiny. The Bible is tough enough to take any of your questions. This story is true news as well as good news. Doubt not. And then thirdly and finally, delay not. Delay not. This is life-changing news. Verses 13 through to 20. Verse 16 says that, so they hurried off and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger. I don't want you to miss the significance of the shepherd's response here to this news. They left their sheep and they hurried to Jesus. They left their sheep, they hurried to see Jesus. If you've ever wondered what faith looks like, you need to look no further. This is as good an example of faith as any. Faith hears the message and responds with action. And what we can see from their response is that they not only believe the message to be true, they believe the message to be urgent and they believe the message to be important. Important enough to leave their sheep, urgent enough to do so in a hurry. Friends, you know, an angel is literally a messenger, someone who has been sent. And today I am God's angel to you. I know it's perhaps the most unbelievable thing that I could be saying this morning, but I am God's angel to you. And I too have a message of good news, of great joy, centered around Jesus Christ. The good news of Christmas, the good news of Christianity is that God came to earth as a Savior. Jesus really was born. He lived and died and rose again so that you might be forgiven of your sins, so that you may be made right with God, so that you might be saved from hell, so that you might be assured of heaven. Jesus came to do all of that for you. But how you respond to that message is all important. And the most appropriate way to respond to this good news message of great joy is with faith. Faith hears the message and responds with action. These shepherds here are a model for us. Faith leaves whatever's holding you back from coming to Jesus, and faith hurries to do so, for it knows time and opportunity rarely come and quickly go. You know, this message is important enough for me to be able to say to you this morning that you can leave anything and everything behind, that you must leave whatever it is that's holding you back. Do you know, we'll all have an equivalent of the sheep. The shepherds left their sheep. They were precious to them. They were valuable. The fact that they were out on the hills guarding them conveys to us something of their value. Of course they were valuable to these shepherds, but they left behind something which was precious to them because they believed they'd been shown something of greater value, of greater worth in Jesus. Friends, what's holding you back from coming to Jesus? Is it friends? Is it family? Is it reputation? Is it a lifestyle? I can say confidently to you this morning that all of the blessings of coming to Jesus far outweigh the cost. Listen to the words of Jesus. Excuse me. He said, I tell you the truth. No one who has left home or wife or brothers or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom will fail to receive many times as much in this age and in the age to come eternal life. The message is important enough for me to be able to say leave behind whatever it is that's holding you back, and the message is urgent enough for me to be able to say do it now. Do it now. Don't wait a moment longer. This good news is true news. This true news is life-changing news. Millions of people all over time, all over the world, have been transformed by responding to this message with faith. And the opportunity for your changed life is here. And the time for your changed life is now. Faith changes everything. The Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please God. Without faith, you're locked out of relationship with Him. Without faith, you have no hope for the future. Without faith, you have no forgiveness of your sins. Without faith, your destination is hell and judgment and punishment for an eternity to come. You need faith. Whoever believes, whoever has faith, will not perish but have eternal life, is the clear, beautiful message of the gospel, of the good news of Jesus Christ. Jesus came to do what you can't do for yourself. Jesus came to do what religion can't do for you. He came to die in your place, to take the punishment your sins deserve, and now He offers you free of charge everything He achieved through His life, death, and resurrection. He offers it to you as a free gift. Yes, there's a cost to following Jesus, but it's free of charge. Jesus paid it in full. And this morning, He offers it to you. Forgiveness, fulfillment, hope. That's some Christmas present, isn't it? This is true. This is important. This is urgent. You know my childhood fear of not making it to Christmas? Could be anybody's fear this year. None of us are guaranteed to making it to the 25th, are we? This message is true. It's important. It's urgent. But come now. Well, the shepherds left their sheep, but they were not left disappointed. We need to see the profound effect that meeting Jesus had on their lives. Verse 17, when they had seen Him, they spread the word concerning Him. And then in verse 20, the shepherds return, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had seen. Do you know those who respond with faith are never left disappointed? And I mean never left disappointed. I have never, ever heard the story of a dying Christian looking back at their life and regretting the fact that they put their faith in Jesus. I've never heard of such a thing. I have, however, heard of regrets. Regrets of those who have put their faith in Jesus on their deathbed. And do you know what their regrets are? Their regrets are that they didn't do it sooner. Friends, there's no need to die without hope. There's no need to die with regrets. Come now. In Jesus is good news of great joy for all the people. Do you remember back in the early stages of that Chilean mine rescue? And they were talking about it taking till Christmas to rescue them. Could you imagine that? Could you imagine if they were still down there? Could you imagine if you were down there? It's a terrifying thought. But could you imagine having been trapped for so long? Could you imagine any of the miners refusing to get into the pod once it arrived? Could you imagine the drill breaking through, the pod dropping down? Not now. No. It's a crazy scenario, isn't it? Jesus Christ arrived. The rescuer landed. And today is still the day of opportunity. Friends, if you have put your faith in Jesus, then fear not. But if you've not yet done so, doubt not and delay not.